Reading today is John 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
We've been looking at this remarkable prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed on the eve of the cross. And we know the events that took place, and it was fully in his mind. He knew exactly what he was going to be facing, and he prays this remarkable prayer in the hearing of his disciples. And last week we looked at some of the remarkable things about that prayer. It was remarkable as we listen, we read the whole prayer, how many people the Lord Jesus prayed for. He prayed for the Father, he prayed for his disciples, the worldwide church, the world of lost humanity, prayed for Judas, the false professors, he prayed for Satan, and it was a challenge to us to the breadth of our prayers as well. What was remarkable was his field of vision. It went beyond his 33 years on the earth. He went away in his prayer to the glories of eternity past and the glories of eternity future. And that vision strengthened him in the sufferings that he would face. And that's what we need as well in our Christian lives. We need to see God's eternal purpose, God's eternal love for us. That strengthens us. It was remarkable because of the way that he spoke to his Father. What honor, what respect, what desire to accomplish the Father's work. And God desires that we approach him the same way that Lord's Prayer teaches us to approach him that way. And then remarkable because of Christ's certainty that the work that the Father gave him to do would be accomplished. And I read a number of scriptures last week about the certainty of God's purpose in our life. God's salvation. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. So Christ mentioned many people in his prayer, but he also prayed for himself. And it's important for us to note that, because sometimes we can be slow to do that. We can imagine that other people's needs around the world are far more important than our needs. And no, we don't need to bring them to the Lord in prayer. Well, if Christ, who was sinless, if he needed to pray for himself, how much more do we? We need to pray for ourselves. And that's affirmed in the central part of the Lord's Prayer that we've looked in previous weeks, to depend upon our Father for our everyday needs, be they physical needs, whatever they are, be they spiritual needs, we can depend upon him. Our Father wants us to call upon him every single day. So it's important to pray for ourselves. So let's look and think about how the Lord Jesus prayed for himself. That was expressed firstly in his words in verse 1, Father, the time has come. Christ prays with a clear awareness of God's purpose as it was being worked out in his life. And he expresses a wholehearted yes to complete the work that the Father gave him to do, authorized him to do, sent him to do. And what's remarkable, as you look through some of the gospel accounts, you see that Jesus, as a child, was growing in wisdom and understanding. And then when he reaches the age of 12, we see him with this strong conviction. He expresses, I must be about my Father's business. And that conviction, that awareness, continued to grow throughout his life. That vision of his Father's purpose was tried and it was tested. Tested by Satan, remember the wilderness. Tested by Peter, who was trying to dissuade him of going to the cross. It was opposed by the religious authorities. And yet we see Jesus here at the age of 33, 20 years later. That desire to be about his Father's business had not faded in any way in light of the trials and the difficulties that he had faced in his life. He still had that burning conviction. And it's a challenge here for us. I look here, I see some youth. I see some 20s and I see 50s and 70s and 80s. And I want to ask you, do you still have that desire to be about your Father's business? Or has it faded over the years? Have other things taken the place of that? God wants you supremely to be about the Father's business in your life, whatever age and stage you are in your life, to be about your Father's business. The work the Father gave and authorized the Lord Jesus to do, according to verse 2, was about enabling people to experience eternal life. The Father had granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those that the Father had given him. Christ, in his miraculous healing ministry, had restored multitudes of people to renewed physical health. However, their bodies, the bodies of each person, even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, continued to decay, be subject to disease, and would eventually die. The work that Christ was sent to do was to enable mankind to experience eternal life, to live forever in a place where there is no more sickness and disease and pain and suffering and death and sadness. That place at the moment is heaven, where our Heavenly Father dwells. But when Christ returns in power and glory and makes all things new, heaven will come down to earth. What a glorious prospect for this decaying, aging creation. It's going to be made new, gloriously new. But eternal life, according to Christ's prayer, is more than enabling people to live forever. It's something far, far greater. It's something far, far more precious. It's enabling people to know the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That is the heaven of heavens. According to the message of the Bible, if we don't know the only true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent, we will never enter heaven. Do you know the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? It's possible to know about Him, to know lots of facts and information that you can accumulate over the years. There's a difference between knowing about Him and knowing Him personally. And there's a world of difference. And that was why God's Son was sent into the world to enable us to know Him. And to know Him, to be able to know the true God and Jesus Christ, required God's Son going to the cross to suffer and die on the cross. Hundreds of thousands of people, possibly more than that, suffered the same fate as Christ at the hand of the Romans. History tells us that 6,000 were crucified in one day in 71 BC in the aftermath of Spartacus's rebellion. Crucifixion was reserved for those who, in the opinion of the state, had committed serious crimes. Christ was crucified for different reasons. The religious and secular powers sentenced Him to death because He claimed to be who He truly was, the Son of God. And they did not want to acknowledge His authority over their lives. Is the world any different today? It's not one iota different. And God, in His perfect knowledge, He knew that this rejection of His Son would take place. He knew this before He sent Him into the world. In fact, He knew this before even creating the world. And yet God went ahead with creation. And He planned to use the cross as the means of providing a way for the root cause of all of our sickness and suffering and death. Do you know what that root cause is? It's mankind's sin and rebellion against God. And God purposed through His Son a way for our sin and our rebellion to be forgiven, to enable us to be reconciled to God. Forgiveness and reconciliation required the guilt of all of our sins, mankind's sins, to be placed upon Christ and for Christ to die in our place. It's truly beyond belief that God was willing to bear the crushing guilt of our sins and suffer and die for us to save us. What amazing love. What amazing mercy. But for us to receive that forgiveness and reconciliation, we have to acknowledge our sin and guilt before God and place our faith in Christ and His sacrifice. I wonder, have you done that? You must do that, or you will be required to bear the guilt and the punishment for your own sins in God's coming day of judgment. And what a fearful prospect that is. As Scripture opens up to our understanding, it will be eternal in duration. But that need never be. God, on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, offers you eternal life. If you've never embraced that life, you can embrace that today, even as where you're sitting just now or after the service, you can speak to anyone here and they will help you to take that step. So in Christ's prayer, a matter of hours before his arrest, which would lead to crucifixion at our time, 9 a.m. in the next morning, Christ offers himself. He offers himself to his Father to be the means of our salvation. Father, the time has come. What willingness to embrace the cross and to accomplish God's purpose of salvation. What love for us. I want to tell you something challenging to each of us here just now. If you are a Christian, your Heavenly Father's supreme, whatever else you do in your life, your Heavenly Father's supreme purpose for your life. Some of the young people here are doing their A-levels, they're planning the courses of their life. God's number one supreme desire for your life, it's not to be an engineer or a social worker or a doctor or a carer or a mechanic or a university professor. It's to play your God-appointed part in enabling people to experience eternal life and to know the true and the living God. I wonder, do you know that? The Father's business for you, for your life. And Christ commissioned his church before returning to heaven. We often go to Matthew, but in Mark 16, to go into all the world and preach and proclaim the good news to all creation. The good news of eternal life through faith in Christ. Are you willing to be led by God, to continue to be led by God in fulfilling that purpose? It will require prayer, interceding before God for those in your family circle who don't know the Lord, or your workplace, or your neighbors, or your community who don't know the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why we gather to pray. That's why we meet in our evenings, to commit family members, the community, our neighbors, to pray for their salvation. It will also require you being willing to befriend those who don't know the Lord, to befriend them in a greater way, showing genuine Christian love and kindness and hospitality and friendship. And we have that opportunity through the food hub. God's bringing them into the building. We don't even have to go out. We just need to show up. We need to be here. And as God gives us opportunity, serve like Nick and others. Get to know the people in the community who don't know the Lord. And taking opportunities as God gives us. And it's along that road of love and kindness and genuineness and care and that God will open up opportunities to share. God will prompt you, and it'll be so natural. It won't be forced. It'll just be so right. It was encouraging to hear Michael Barrett sharing last week about his desire to reach out to his work colleagues in the university and of the opportunities God has given in recent weeks to read the Bible and to have spiritual conversations with a number of his colleagues. Well, may Mike's testimony spur us on to offer ourselves in prayer to God for the same purpose, God's purpose, enabling people to experience eternal life, to know the true and the living God. Christ didn't just pray, "The time has come." He prayed, "Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you." What did Christ mean by that prayer? His prayer was a request to his Father that he would give him all that he needed to be able to endure the cross and offer himself as a sacrifice sufficient to satisfy God's justice and provide forgiveness and eternal life, a relationship with God to the world. That was Christ's prayer. That was what he was asking for. Enable me to do this. And God his Father answered Christ's prayer. He gave him all the strength, all the love, all the endurance, everything he needed. And Christ was able to utter the words, "It is finished." And because of his finished, perfect sacrifice, God raised him from the dead, and he seated him in the place of highest power and authority. And he's given him the name that is above all names. And all who call on his name can be saved, to the glory of God's amazing grace and mercy. If our desire and if our prayer is to accomplish the work our Heavenly Father has given us to do, to glorify his name by lifting up his Son, the Bible says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." We just need to lift him up. We can be assured that our Father will give us all that we need, all the resources that we need, the strength, the faithfulness, the words, the love, the endurance, the opportunities. And he'll work in their hearts. We don't have the power to do that. He has the words of life. Well, with that confidence, let's offer ourselves afresh to God's purpose of enabling people to experience eternal life and to know the true God and Jesus Christ, who he sent. Whatever you do in life, this is your number one business. Are you about your Father's business? God wants you to be. And we have this opportunity this morning to say yes to him. Say, "Yes, I must be about my Father's business. And I offer myself, whether I'm a young person or an old person. God has a purpose for as long as you're alive on this earth." Otherwise, he would take you home. And you're still here. And it's good to be in the land of the living. But he's given you a living purpose. A wonderful purpose. No greater purpose on this planet to be about your Father's business. So let's commit ourselves afresh to that purpose.